section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Tough Enough Reviews, EC3 runs the show, and a new champ is crowned in Japan. All this and much, much more on this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Welcome to another episode of Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. So, Finn Balor wins the NXT Championship in Japan. Wow. What did you think about this?
It was really amazing. I think that John Laurinaitis, who is the agent for the show, he did a phenomenal job allowing the streamers to be there, and to see that type of a site was really cool. It gave it a special type of flair, and I think that's something that really bodes well for these specials. You know, we have this one that happened recently. NXT, of course, is having their pay-per-view here in a month's time, right before SummerSlam, which will be a really big deal. And I think keeping with this theme of doing these pay-per-views, especially in other countries, I think is a very smart move for WWE. They need to do one in the UK. I think that doing one maybe in India or even in China would also be a smart move.
I completely agree. And this is why you need to have these specials. But I believe that there's been too many recently. I think they should be done quarterly for the main roster and, of course, quarterly for the NXT roster. But you could set it up where it's almost like January, there's a special event, and then NXT has their thing in February, off in March, and then they continue to do that. They could do something along those lines. Yeah, and I think that gives more value to the network, because you're talking about, if you want to call them pay-per-views, you're talking 20 shows then, 20 mm-hmm. pay-per-views, and realistically, four of them are going to be great with NXT, because, I mean, I love watching NXT, and I think that when they were in Japan, I thought that they honored how a lot of Japanese matches are, because with the streamers, you talked about that, the giving of the flowers. And by the way, what Owens did when he grabbed it and then he threw it, I was laughing my butt off because I knew
that was insane.
Because I was like, you're not supposed to do that. The only problem I had was that this is a Japanese crowd. When they watch wrestling, there's not many chants. They did get a "This is awesome" chant, which I thought was hilarious because it was kind of a sync. Then they finally got it later on with the Jericho and Neville match, and of course, Finn and Owens match, but it was just great, and I missed it. Of course, I didn't watch it live. I ended up watching it about 9 o'clock Central time, but it was still good. And when Owens won it, I was going to tweet it out, but I figured you'd probably check your Twitter yeah. and be like, "You ruined it again for me."
Yeah, no, I like these specials too. The only thing I would say is I don't like having them so close together, especially if they're very similar. You know, I think that was the problem with the Elimination Chamber special event, since it technically was not a pay-per-view. The thing that sucked about it was that we got to see Kevin Owens and John Cena go twice in a span of 2 weeks, and that kind of takes away from it being special. You know, that's the thing about it. And I think
you
especially
mean
with
4 weeks?
No, from
they wrestled three times in 4 weeks, I thought. Or six
yes.
weeks.
No, it was two times in, because they're still one and one right now. So it's two times in 2 weeks. And well, the point I'm making, though, is that I don't think they should have too many close together when it's the same thing. You know, when you had the roster split Raw and SmackDown, that was one thing. So let's say you had this special event and it's Cena and Owens headlining it. That's fine. But don't have the rematch 2 weeks later. Have it 4 weeks, 6 weeks later, that sort of thing. And with the NXT special coming up in August, that's what, the day before SummerSlam. I think that's a terrible idea, in my opinion. I would have it the week before. You know, I would have it where, there's enough time that it's not next to it. And I think the problem is that it's too close.
No, I completely agree. Do you know whether if it's going to be at the Barclays Center, the NXT event?
I don't believe it's at the Barclays Center. It is in Brooklyn, though, but I don't believe it's there. Because, I mean, it's NXT, and I think that would be too... the venue needs to be smaller for them.
Yeah, hypothetical, let's say they did have it there, and it sold out. Does that mean that any other organization... Because technically, if you look at it from one way, NXT is indie. But if an indie show sells out, I think there's 16,000 seats that can be held in there. Doesn't that say something about all the other competition, you know, even Ring of Honor, TNA, GFW? Do you think it's a good thing for them, or do you think that it basically states that WWE owns wrestling, period? You're never going to make the dollars that Vince makes.
It's a good thing for them because the stars that they're seeing are people who are former Ring of Honor champions. You know, I mean, that's the big thing. Kevin Steen is a Ring of Honor guy, and Finn Balor and Hideo Itami are Japanese guys, you know? And so I think that that's what you're seeing there. When you have Ring of Honor there, people are going to go see it. They're going to come out in droves. And I think it's a good thing for the wrestling industry as a whole.
I actually forgot what I was going to ask you. But anyway, so I can go on and on about this. But let's talk some WWE program for this week. So Brock takes down J&J Security. By the way, Joey Mercury, oh my gosh, it scared the crap out of me when he gave him belly-to-belly suplex. And I didn't think Mercury got his head around it. And all of a sudden, I see it pop. And pop his head around. I was like, oh, thank goodness. But were you laughing that they took a Cadillac and basically...
We knew this was going to happen. You saw it last week. When you have a car come out and they like tout it so much, something was going to happen. And I was not surprised when it got destroyed. But I was very surprised that the way that he threw the door and it hit a fan, apparently, who was not going to sue because they were only startled. But I was like, wow, really? All right, that's fine.
I would sue.
Yeah, I would too.
But I, you know, this entire segment, like I laughed, I guess, because I was laughing because Brock was core. It was by the way, did you notice that on Raw there was not a single CM Punk chant?
I did.
And I was waiting for it. I waited for it the entire time. And I was like, oh, still? Well, no, they're not saying that. Okay. They put the show together perfectly. And I think this is a win on WWE's part because you know they wanted to chant CM Punk. You know they did.
Yeah. I also think, though, too, that the fans understand that, you know, CM Punk is gone. He said his side of the story. And I don't think that there's anything else to say. You know, I mean, it's done. It's over with. So I think that the fans are kind of like, all right, you know, let's just hitch our wagon to the next person. You know, let's not stay in the past as much. And, you know, I think that Cesaro is really that guy right now, you know, and he main evented Raw against Cena and they put on a really good match. Obviously you knew Cena was going to win since it was for the title, but it was still a very good match. The big question here, though, is do you think it's time to push Cesaro now that he's singles, now that he's been putting on these really great matches, that the crowd is really behind him? Is it time to start pushing him?
Well, if he is definitely going to be away from Kid, this is the time. And if he's going to do anything, he really needs to win the U.S. Championship. He needs to win that title. I don't know how he's going to do it because, you know, it's going to be Owens versus Cena at Battleground. And... that's the tough thing. Like, it's going to be that match. And then you want Cesaro somehow in it. So Cesaro has a chance of winning because Cesaro, I mean, him and Cena put on a great match. I mean, even with two commercial breaks, they still put on a great match. I can't say 5-star match anymore because you're not supposed to. But it was a great contest, if you want to say that. But
yeah,
this is the time. Cesaro, he has a look. Chicago loves him because they know him as Claudio, and then no, they don't like John Cena. So realistically, he got popped. By the way, the fact that Owens came out and that's all he did, that was disappointing.
I was very confused by that too because you expected him to come out and interfere in the match later on, and nothing happened. Like it really kind of didn't make any sense, that whole thing. Like, I mean, it's fine, you can surprise me every now and then, but that just did not make sense.
But overall, I do believe this is the time that we push Cesaro. He shows everyone who he is. I mean, he didn't have to go through he didn't have to really go through the stuff that other guys did. I mean, some people get a quick fate, you know, jump up to the main roster. I mean, you just go through Tough Enough and then, hey, there you are and you're in the spotlight. Like right now at Tough Enough, they actually do have a couple. Now they have two indie wrestlers that are in there, one being Patrick and then the girl they just brought on because one Princess Diana quit. And I like her story, but I want to actually do a fact check on it, and I should have done that, because I'm wondering if it was all, like, complete crap. But I don't know. It's out in Seattle, so if you get a Seattle paper and you hear that some guy got put in a chokehold at a bar and now he's almost paralyzed, let me know.
Yeah, I will.
I'm sorry. In Spokane, my bad.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not Seattle, but, yeah, you know. Yeah, speaking of Tough Enough, Andy, first things first, what do you think of the show so far?
I thought the format, it reminded me of something, but I don't know what, where they have a tape, it's half taped, half live. And to me, it needs to be one or the other. I mean, I will say that Tough Talk is way better than the actual Tough Enough show. Because they'll go off on each other. And Miz is hilarious, by the way. I think Miz is very underrated and very short. So when the tall guys come over, they kind of kneel down to him.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the thing is, there's two people that will not go home. And I don't care who. If you put Patrick with Sarah Lee and ZZ, Patrick's going home. Because the crowd loves Sarah. The crowd likes ZZ. And it's not because of a joke. It's that they see something in him. And Hogan said that. Hogan said, I see something in you, but you got to be in the bottom. And I believe that those two, those three with Patrick and Sarah Lee and ZZ, they'll bring something. I don't know what, but they're going to bring something. The MMA fighter, I can't think of his name. But
her name?
No,
the
no.
The girl?
No, him. Long hair, him and Patrick.
Oh, Tanner.
Tanner, thank you. Tanner has a look, but I think he's doing this for fame. Not because, yeah, he was in the UFC, yeah, big deal, but this is different. And he has the proper look for it, but, you know, I don't want him to win. I just could care less, because I think what will happen is he'll win, he'll get his money, and then he'll quit. And I know that Patrick will stay in, and I believe ZZ will stay in, and I believe Sarah Lee will stay in. And there's one other guy that Moda, I believe that he could actually stay in, but the rest, pretty much, I'm like, man. The girls, they're just there for their looks, and they're not very – some of them are
not very
athletic.
The majority of them I don't think really could go far. They don't have as much of a flair about them. I actually thought that Daria, who got let go, I thought that she could have gone a little bit more. The new one that they brought in, her name is Chelsea. She actually has been on Raw before as Daniel Bryan's medical assistant or whatever. A stupid segment.
The massage therapist.
Yeah, that's right. But she has trained with Lance Storm, so she actually is very technically sound. Emma did the same thing. But there's two girls who I think look alike, which is Georgia. It's not Georgia. It's Georgia or something.
Yeah,
it's and then there. Gabby. And I think that those two are kind of interchangeable, and they just they kind of look like the Bellas almost, and they're not even related. They don't look alike or anything, but they're very kind of plain, like just the random people. Amanda is okay, but I think Sarah, I think that she has a kind of a look to her that she could potentially do something, but I don't know if she would really go that far. She was in the bottom three last week.
Well, that's the thing, but they keep putting her in there. And Paige said that I'll keep putting in there until you prove yourself. But the thing with Sarah Lee, I think some people, if they want that girl next door, and they will try and save that girl next door. ZZ, to me, is comical, but I don't see him winning it. But I see him actually continuing to be a wrestler, like even going to Indies or even staying at NXT.
I'll be honest with you, it feels like they're making fun of him. Like, that's the thing. Because when I look at him, I get it. He's a character, and he's like that Santino type of person. I personally don't like a whole lot of comedy wrestling. I don't. I think that Colt Cabana is good. Eugene was actually fairly entertaining. I hated Santino. I hated Santino. I really did. And ZZ, same thing. Like, it almost feels like people are making fun of him. It really does. And I don't like him at all. I actually think that, there's Josh, who is also kind of one of those, he's got long hair and is just looks like any other big guy. But I think that Tanner, I agree. I think that he's there for fame, but I also think that he could potentially do stuff. He is the type of guy, he would be a hard worker, but he wouldn't go higher than like the European title, you know, that they don't have anymore. But, you know, that's the type of title that he would win, you know, like the European or the hardcore, you know.
So to me, he reminds me of Daniel Pewter, because didn't he win like season 4 or whatever it was with that the Miz was on?
I don't think he won it, but
no, he won the $1 million thing.
This he did, okay. Yeah.
Because he was about to actually legitimately beat Kurt Angle in the ring.
Yeah.
And I think he was smart and decided not to, but it would have been hilarious if he did. But I think that's what would happen with Tanner. Because to me, I don't see a personality from him. And I see sometimes that there's some people. Okay. Roman Reigns. Let's just talk. I'm going to throw him in here real quick. Roman Reigns. Okay. He could not act himself out of a paper bag. And I will say, since he took acting classes, night and day, from a year ago until now, night and day, from the way he talked, he can actually talk, and I actually enjoy seeing him. And I believe that you can actually take someone like Sarah Lee and also Patrick to do the same thing. Because Patrick, I mean, he has some character with him, but I believe that he can improve by doing something like that. ZZ, yes, I never thought about the fact that they're making fun of him, but thinking about it, yeah, they're making fun of him. I mean, there's no way around that part of it. And that is kind of sad, but it's also, to me, that's entertaining. Like, the stuff he says, I find hilarious, and it's very entertaining. Will he be a wrestler? Who knows, but it'd be funny if he was on commentary, and then, like, he would just say, like, a couple one-liners, and I would laugh my butt off.
Yeah, no, I agree. But yeah, so Tough Enough wise, I'm actually kind of enjoying it, although I'm fast forwarding through a lot of it because there's way too much live stuff that they, you know, oh, what do you think of this so far? So I just fast forward through the majority of it. I probably watch in about 30 minutes, I would say. And, you know, I mean, obviously we've gone over who we think is good. So let's just thank our sponsors.
HostGator, are you a blogger or a podcaster, or are you just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, hands on the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo, see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code, Off the Mark, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 86's Off the Mark page and click on the banner at the top to save big on items from WWEshop.com. So let's talk EC3 wrestling. I mean, TNA wrestling, Impact Wrestling, whatever you want to call it these days. EC3 ran the show. Your new war heavyweight champion.
Yep.
Not world, I guess, because it's not that way. But yeah, I don't know.
So he ran the show. He put himself into three matches. He said, I'm going to wrestle three times tonight. And he wrestled the first person he ever faced, which was a, you know, skinny 120-pound guy. Then he took on Shark Boy. And then Kurt Angle came out, said, I have a rematch clause. You're going to take me on. And then he won by DQ, or he lost by DQ. So he kept the title. So EC3 ran the show. He also made sure that his enemies were put into, handicap matches. So we had Matt Hardy taking on the Dirty Heels. Anderson was taking on Bram in a like street fight. So it was one of those types of matches, you know, one of those types of nights, which is not a bad thing. It shows a character. It makes you hate EC3. I love to hate him, and I think everybody else does too. He doesn't have X-Pac heat where you just don't like him. He actually is the type of heel where you love to hate him. And Kevin Owens is doing a good job of that right now, too. But I think EC3 is probably the best heel right now in wrestling, in my opinion.
This is where I'm going to differ with you.
Who's better?
He's the best in TNA. I'll just flat out say it. TNA, he owns.
I agree.
Derek Bateman owns TNA. Let's just put it that way, right? I believe that if he went to like another main stage, like maybe he might go to Ring of Honor and do the same thing. GFW definitely, because it's GFW. But I don't know if he went back to, let's say he went back to NXT. I don't think he could do it. I don't think that even if they gave everything to him, I think it wouldn't go over well. I think he's great with small crowds and like the hardcore crowds. But I don't know who writes his stuff. That's what I'm curious, because if he writes it, then I think the WWE did miss the boat on this. Because even if he wasn't a wrestler, he could write some awesome promos. I'm just curious on that part of it, but yeah. So right now, in definitely Impact, if you've got Impact, Ring of Honor, GFW, he's the number one heel, and he's also number two and number three.
Who is better in WWE than him as a heel? Well,
Kevin Owens right now.
Do you think Kevin Owens is a better heel though? Because people cheer for Owens way more than they cheer for EC3. I think people boo EC3 more.
I would cheer either way, even though if he's a heel, I'd still cheer for him though.
I agree.
It's just, to me, it's one of those things. Like,
you're saying Kevin Owens is a better heel right now than EC3, which is fine. It's subjective.
And the thing is, Kevin Owens also has not just the main roster. He has also the NXT roster as well. And that's two different crowds.
You see, you missed a perfect opportunity for a joke there. He not only has the main roster, but he also has the fans at Raw. So,
I could have said that.
Okay, fine. Take Owens out of the equation. Who in WWE is the best heel after Owens?
New Day?
You know what? You might be right, because I don't think Sheamus is doing that good of a job. Bray Wyatt is kind of a face. I mean, you know, he's a tweener.
He's one of those things. He's like a Kevin Owens. He's there, but people want a chair.
People don't boo him. He is not a heel. So you can't say Bray Wyatt. So what do we have here?
I thought you said Bram at first, and I was like, what?
Oh, no. So we have Kevin Owens, and then New Day is your number two in WWE right now. So
three and four.
What about Seth Rollins? Seth Rollins isn't?
See, I don't consider him a heel anymore, because to me,
everyone boos him. Brock Lesnar is the face going after him.
But the thing is, Rollins has started to turn, though. What has he done that's face-like? I think it's natural. It's just he's been naturally turning. Because he did. Well, he went ahead and gave Kane a trip to Hawaii.
That's
he gave the jokesters a car. By the way, I went ahead and ordered my army stripe. By the way, I'm going to put on my S10.
Yeah, so anyway, he has not done anything face-like. So is Seth Rollins the number two in WWE then, would you say?
I would almost say Chance Change Security.
Seth Rollins. Okay, my question to you is this. EC3 or Seth Rollins, who's a better heel right now? Okay, so EC3 is the number two heel in all of wrestling.
If you're talking about all wrestling, yes, EC3 is number two right now. And then Owens is number one. Rollins would probably be a close third. It would be Rollins, and then you got J&J and New Day. You have those guys right there, because they're kind of interchangeable. Like, you can have one or the other. It doesn't matter. Kane's not really a heel. I think he's there collecting a paycheck is what I think. But I'm getting off topic. But, yeah, EC3 in all of wrestling, number two easily.
Okay. So the other thing that happened that night, Andy, is that Dixie Carter came out at the end, and she basically turned face. And so she came out, you know, apologized for her past deeds and said she's going to have an authority figure come and run the show. My question to you is, do you like Dixie as an on-screen character?
Don't care.
So her presence there made you go,
Don't care. That's what it did for me, at least. I honestly, okay, like Dixie Carter is fine and stuff. I just don't care. Like, because to me, she ruined certain things with wrestling. And I just don't care about her. I really don't. If she's back, okay, that's great. She's face. Don't care. Get her out. That's the one thing that I've learned is that a lot of indie promotions, the person who owns it will want to come out, or running the show will want to come out and put their face out there for, you know, their 15 minutes of fame. But realistically, I don't care. I just don't care about her.
Yeah.
And the fact that she came out, whatever. Just don't care about it.
I actually think it is a slight mistake if she stays on for a long time. Having her out there for a short time is okay, but she is not the type of heel that Vince McMahon is. She's not that authoritative heel that you hate. Not a Vince McMahon, not an Eric Bischoff, not a Vince Russo. So I really think that they need to pull back from that. If they keep her on screen for a long period of time, I think that it will be a fail.
And I completely agree on that. Completely agree. But we don't know what's happening with TNA, because in a couple of newsletters, they are talking about that the reason, because they're taping a bunch of shows at the end of this month. And it could be, this sounds weird, but it could be up to 32 shows. that they're going to be recording, because they're going to do afternoon and they're going to do night tapings, and they're going to double each one, supposedly. Or they may run a one night in the afternoon, and then they may run, of course, their the regular the two shows at night. And I will say this, if they do that, and there's still no talk about them coming to Destination America or them being terminated from the contract, I believe that they're just doing it just to, well, say goodbye. But the thing is, I know we keep bashing TNA about this. Ever since we've done the show for, gosh, what, 5 years now? Or 6 years. All we've done is basically say TNA is going out. And I've said it before, I really think now they're going to be going out. I want to keep saying it so it doesn't happen. Because I like what Ring of Honor's done, and I think their show is really good. But I would rather have that third presence out there. I know there's going to be another promotion on Pop TV, if I'm correct, is what it's called. But still, they're not out yet, so this is going to happen. But yeah, it's Dixie Carter. Just a waste. I guess like you could have had someone else in there. And by the way, Shark Boy coming back. Who doesn't like Shark Boy?
But I like Shark
Boy. But the thing is, what did Colt Cabana do in TNA that they don't like him? That's what I don't get.
I don't know either. You know, Jim Cornette hated him, and he probably rubbed a couple people the wrong way. Or, you know, perception is reality. So maybe he, you know, somebody perceived him as being something that he's not. And so people don't like him. And I think that's a shame, because Colt Cabana will promote on his show, hey, guys, tune over to Destination America the next Thursday. I'm going to be on it. There's a bunch of viewers.
I will be jobbing to insert. Yeah. I can't think of the decade. Who is the boy? Is it Steve Carino's son, right?
Yes.
Okay. He jobs to Steve Carino's son with a finger poke of death. He just falls down. 1, 2, 3. And he even hooks the leg just to make sure. Anyway, so that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at OffTheMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and in the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.